Today's guest is Jack Martin. He's the owner operator of Action Roofing. And I met him, and he's been a sponsor of the show for many years. But I started the program in 1998. I met Jack in 1988 at 6 South Salinas. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Jack Martin.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Now, I don't know why I would remember meeting you at 6 South Salinas, but it was a hillside home, and there was a second unit down below, and there was maybe a laundry room that was kind of a detached little structure. And I met you, and I think you came out there and repaired the roof. You wouldn't remember that.
You have a way better memory than me.
I don't know why that's stuck in my head, but it was one of my – I had started in 1988. You started Action Roofing in 1985?
Correct.
And so when I met you in 1988, besides you and your truck and doing roofs, what was the business? What did the business look like in 1988?
Oh, goodness. Very small. I mean, I was just trying to make a name for myself. Probably 4 or 5 employees at the time, and, you know, not a lot of money, but, you know, life was good. I was a lot younger back then. Here we are, Labor Day, laboring away. I'm at the office, and you're at your office talking to the world.
There you go. No rest for the weary. That is funny, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but I had an Uncle Bob, who bought a coffee business, and he was a great salesman, and he tried to hire somebody to take over delivering the route so he could focus more on sales. And he would deliver coffee, and then he would pick up new clients just by happenstance. But he could never let go and delegate and hire one employee. And I don't even want to ask you how many employees you have now, but, you know, it takes a special personality to be able to do what you did.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to think back on all of that, but yes, my company has grown quite a bit over the years. I still enjoy what I do. Unfortunately, I have to work harder than ever, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like holding on to the tail of the tiger. It's just you got so many trucks and employees, and but the bottom line is you focus, and your couple of inspectors that you work with, you focus on, you know, the latest technology and your roofing inspections for potential buyers are valued, and you just, God, I don't know how you keep up with everything, always identifying. What was that roof? My guest, Jack Martin, owner of Action Roofing. What was that roof? Was it about 20 years ago that someone came out with this brilliant looking roof that looked like slate? And then within a few years, it was determined that it was deteriorating and all these people spent big money on it.
Well, there's so many products that are like that. I mean, you're probably talking about Superdor, which was a fibered product that actually had some asbestos in it at one point in time, and then they took the asbestos out of it because of the requirements, and that's where it just fell apart. But there's many roofing products that were around and had expectations that were not met and basically folded up, so...
What, didn't one of them have, like, paper as part of the ingredients?
Wood cellulose fiber.
Ingredients was the wrong word. You're not cooking. but yeah, I remember that. And, boy, it was just brutal. I remember once we did an inspection on a house I sold. At the time, it was like a $500,000 house in Samarkand. And the owners had just spent, and this goes back 20 years, and they had just put on a new roof, and it was just put on improperly, and it was just an accident waiting to happen, and they had to put on a brand new roof, and they did it because, you know, you did the inspection. And it's kind of like, how are mistakes made like that? You get an expensive roof put on improperly.
unfortunately, in my business, it happens all too often, and that's probably why the growth of my company has been what it is, because we do it right, and I still see it. It amazes me that some of the workmanship that's out there by what's called roofing contractors is just done completely wrong. So can't answer why or how and how it continues, but it does.
It does. So I did an interview not too long ago with a fireman, or he's part of he's an inspector, and I met him because he went out to a client's house to do an inspection about all the shrubbery. But then he went around the house, and anyway, we had a great interview. And one of the things he talked about was vents that fold up when they sense flying embers, because flying embers seems to be the way houses get ignited. You can have a flying ember a mile away, right? So tell me what your experience is with these vents, and you know, when do you install them? Do you replace them for people, and how do they work?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know as well as I that, you know, we've had a number of wildfires around the Santa Barbara area over the years. I mean, we can count the different ones that we've had, but the last one, what, Jesusita and
Thomas
fire, building code changed because they said, hey, listen, in a firestorm, ambers fly in the air, and they can get into any type of opening that you would have on a roof, a wall, a window. So what they've done is they've changed the code to say, hey, listen, we want something with a smaller opening, or what you're talking about will actually close up when heat gets to it. So what this is, it's kind of like a bumblebee hive material with very small openings, and when heat gets near it, it actually will close itself in so no embers can blow into the building and ignite an attic or subterranean area on fire, because, you know, most homes are wood-framed. So if you get embers inside, then it burns from the inside out. It doesn't matter what type of roofing product you have on the exterior. So that's the reason for these vents, and there's a number of different manufacturers that make them, but Volcom is one of the manufacturers that we use on a regular basis.
I've read about that. I couldn't remember. I knew it was with a V, Vulcan, like from Star Trek, I guess. And then there was another one. It's kind of like two different technologies.
Well, there's another one called BrandGuard. And, you know, it's really kind of the same technology. The idea is that if any heat gets to them, they're going to close up. And, you know, they make them for tiles. They make them look like tiles. They make them for e-vents, soffit vents, for basically anything. And, you know, they're used all the time now, especially in the high fire areas, which is most of Santa Barbara.
Right. And you got a certain, you know, wall or part of your house facing what could be a fire front. You want to focus in on that. My guest, Jack Martin, owner of Action Roofing, talking about these events. And it's kind of funny. We're both from the East Coast originally, right?
Correct.
And you keep... And I'm saying that we're concerned about flying embers, and you're calling them ambers. So we got this reversal from my phonetics class.
It still comes out with certain words, that's for sure. Not many anymore, but it's been a while.
No, yeah. And so if an ember hits this event, that's the heat sensor, and then it'll close up.
Well, it's more about how warm it gets. You know, a single amber will probably close at least the area that it will hit, but when it triggers a certain amount of heat, like a fire, getting near it, then it will shut it off completely. And then, of course, the vents will be useless after that. They'd have to be replaced, but it at least keeps the house from burning down.
Right. It closes you off. Obviously, you want ventilation, but you can certainly live without ventilation for quite a long time before you're going to cause any problems. And so, it would be nice if you could have them remote controlled with your phone. And if your house was in an area that you if you wanted to be super cautious. But I assume once the first ember hits, I assume it doesn't let it in if it immediately closes or.
Yeah, that's certainly the idea behind the technology.
Right. So do people who have existing homes, older homes, call you out and want to replace their vents?
Well, they're made aware of it by the insurance companies. And, you know, with California and most insurance companies, they do not want to insure here anymore. So they're looking for a reason to not insure you. So I get calls quite often from clients that need to be able to have their vents fireproofed or comply to high fire area. And that's where we receive the phone calls. Most people generally don't know about this on their own, but they find out from their insurance companies.
Right. When they maybe they're forced to do it. Is it super expensive?
No. I mean, you can retrofit almost any type of vent. Now all the new vents that are being made today are being made with this type of material, or you can purchase it with the material already retrofit into the vents themselves. But if you have existing vents, you can actually attach this material to it. It's about a half an inch thick, and you can cut it in pieces to be able to match whatever type of opening you have. And then you just attach it to the inside or outside of the vent.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. If someone's concerned about the aesthetics or they don't like the look, they could put it inside.
Yeah, so you can get to it. You know, eaves, you know, which is down the bottom where the gutter is, there's usually not a lot of space to be able to get to those particular areas. But if you have an attic vent that's up higher, certainly the preferable way to do it is from the inside because you can't see it.
Right, but you're a good point. When you got some of those low, you know, those eave vents, it's almost impossible to access. My guest, Jack Martin, owner of Action Roofing, who I met back in 1988 at 6 South Salinas, and he's been a sponsor of the program for many, many years. Speaking of embers and igniting things, should people worry about leaves in their gutter? I mean, if an ember hit a leaf on their gutter, was it going to start a fire and then maybe ignite the roof?
Well, I mean, personally, I think it's pushing it a little bit, but it is code now. So,
oh, it is.
If you're in high fire area, you must have a leaf covering that will comply to high fire code so that the leaves can't get it within the area of the gutter to be able to ignite what's there. But, you know, most gutters are made of a metal. I mean, you're not going to create any type of roaring fire as far as I'm concerned, but it's code now. So we have to install them in any high fire area, at least for new construction.
Or maybe if someone's getting permits for a lot of an addition or something, the county or the city might ask them to bring it up to code. I don't know that, but that's not something you'd worry about. You know how they have, it's kind of fell out of favor, but I see it coming back a little, as central vacuum cleaners. You remember those where you'd have a little cap in each room and you just hook up a hose and you got vacuum in the room?
Oh, you
familiar?
They were fantastic back in the day.
Yeah. So maybe you do the opposite and you put them out in your gutters that they blow air instead of suck air in, and you can just clean the leaves out. We could work on that and get that patented and sell
you have,
that.
You have some great ideas there, Mark. We'll work on the app too that will close events at the same time.
Well, you know what? They might have to have some kind of electric wiring in there to heat up to force them to close. Or maybe there's another way to do it. But I think that would be a pretty good – actually, I think that's a serious idea. My guest, Jack Martin from Action Roofing, in terms of when you got people out in the high fire area, you know, you did my roof going back about, I don't know, 15 years ago, and I got the highest quality 50-year composition. I never talked to you at the time about putting a metal roof on. It's got a very distinct look. Can you ballpark if someone had a 2,000 square foot house today and they were going to put on the highest quality shingle composition? Is metal twice the cost?
Metal's probably 4 times the cost.
And, oh my!
And it does depend on, you know, how the roof is cut, because metal is very labor intensive. So if there's a lot of angles, pieces, it makes it a lot harder to install a metal roof than, you know, anything else. I can cut an asphalt shingle a lot quicker than I can cut any piece of metal. So,
okay. Well, you see those, I think they look really cool. You got to have it's got to fit architecturally, but that's kind of bulletproof. If someone was putting a new roof on and they wanted to be fire safe, is it metal, tile, slate, anything else?
Well, I mean, think about metal. Metal is a conductor of heat. So metal in itself is not fireproof, because the whole idea behind trying to create something that is fire resistant or meets the classification of Class A fire rating is about what's underneath of it. So the idea of a Class A fire rating is that a burning brand test is a block of wood that is 12 inches by 12 inches by 4.5 inches thick. They light it on fire, put it on top of the roof, and they fan it. And that has to withstand creating a problem within the building for an hour.
Wow.
And so it doesn't matter what happens to the roofing material. Like an asphalt shingle will melt, but because of the fiberglass that's in it, it won't actually burn. A tile will really do nothing, but if it gets hot enough, the tile will blow up. So in a metal roof, it's the same way. You have to have fire sheets or drywall or what we call Densdeck, which is a fiberglass material underneath of it in order to get the Class A fire rating. Otherwise, a metal in itself only gets a Class C fire rating.
And so if I came to you and I just bought a house and I'm remodeling and it's in a high fire area, what's the most bulletproof, fireproof roof?
You know, I would say probably more in the concrete or clay tile range, because the product really won't be affected with ambers falling on top of it or a tree branch falling on top of it, other than it would have a tendency to break. So, you know, anything that achieves a Class A fire rating is the best product you can get. And it doesn't mean that it won't burn. We put on PVC membranes, which won't ignite, but it will melt the membrane. But because we have fire sheets or we have the Densdeck underneath of it, it achieves that Class A fire rating. So in some of the fires, I had to replace many, many roofs that had PVC on them, not because the fire created damage inside, but because it melted the membrane and the membrane was compromised.
That's very interesting to think about the underlayment as being key. And when you mention PVC, it reminds me of those commercial flat roofs that you do, but that's different.
No, that's same product. I mean, yeah. PVC, you know, is used, of course, on any flat roof, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's all commercial, because, you know, many contemporary homes have flat roofs.
And that's the money. That's
contemporary is what's very much in.
Right. And that PVC, that was the newer thing. I don't know how long it's been out, but that's, you know, replaced the hot mop and almost a lifetime, barring a fire, you get with that. Well, Jack Martin from Action Roofing, I learned a lot, and we'll work on the remote control. You know, tell your Vulcan rep, ask them if they're working on that, and see if we can get that going. And you could be the first to install them in Santa Barbara. Action Roofing, serving San Ynez still, and how far south?
Oh, we go into Ventura, but mainly for just commercial. We're mainly based out of Santa Barbara. We keep plenty busy here, Santa Barbara, San Ynez, for all residential stuff, you know, down to Carp also.
Okay. Well, listen, next time we'll try to get you started a division called Action Energy, where you do solar installation. Kirk Mueller has been, he's your manager there. He's been on the program. Last couple of times I talked to him, he's too busy to talk to me. So I'm glad that's going well. I'd like to see solar roofs. And say hello to your brother, Steve Martin, who runs the gutter and downspout division. And great talking to you, Jack. Thanks for calling in on Labor Day.
Thanks for having me on. You have a great Labor Day, and get out there and enjoy the rest of the day.
I'll do my best. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Bye. There you go. We got a new product coming out, the remote control Vulcan. I meant to ask him if he dated a girl named Amber in high school. What the hell was that, calling Embers Ambers? I couldn't stop him. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break and come back with, let's see, what are we going to come back with, Richard? I know. I can tell you how you can weigh 1 to 2 pounds less every day without any exercise, any special diet. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.